Now, someone is having a heart attack. An artery is clogged, starving heart tissue of oxygen. But exactly how is the damage happening? Well, there's now a promising new way of studying heart attacks close up. So say US researchers who have created a heart attack on a chip, effectively, using heart muscle cells mounted on an arrangement of microscopic channels. They've managed to recreate the harmful oxygen imbalances that happen in a myocardial infarction. The chip design is related to silicon fabrication in computer semiconductors like the ones in our phones. The work is just published in the journal Science Advances. I've been hearing more from Professor Megan McCain, Associate Professor of Biomedical Engineering, Stem Cell Biology and Regenerative Medicine, and Dr. Megan Rexius-Hull, both at the University of Southern California.
Yeah, so we've made what's known as a microphysiological system, which just means that at a really small scale, we're able to model a lot of key aspects, in this case, of a heart attack. So at a very small scale, we can look at things like the contractility of the heart, and we're able to mimic kind of this injury that happens during a heart attack using, in this case, different levels of oxygen that are exposed to the beating cells of the heart, known as cardiomyocytes.
And when you say microscale, how microscale is it? Is it the size of a coin or a pinhead, somewhere in between?
Well, the device itself is probably around the size of a quarter. But some of the, like the modeling that happens is at a much smaller scale, like the alignment of cells, which all happens at a scale of around like 15 microns or so. So there are these different small scale things that come together in our package now in the size of something about a quarter.
Right. So when you say like a micron level, a thousandth of a millimeter, when you say a quarter, for people who don't know, it's a popular coin in the United States. So think of a medium sized coin. All right. That's very helpful. Now, when I first heard about this, I thought that I would look up a picture of it and I'd see something that looked like a little miniature squidgy heart thing under a microscope. It doesn't look anything like a heart, though. So what is it?
The device itself is made of a material called PDMS. It's basically a soft and squishy rubber material that allows oxygen to flow through it. On top of that, we grow a single layer of heart muscle cells. So when you look at the device itself, you can't really see the cells because they're so small and it's just a single layer of them. But when you zoom in with a microscope, that's where you can see then the actual heart tissue. So what you see with your naked eye is the device that's kind of supporting the cells and the channels where we're flowing different gases through to mimic the deprivation of oxygen that happens during a heart attack.
And that's the really important point, isn't it? So when somebody has a heart attack, one of the outcomes is that you do have an imbalance of oxygen in the heart. And so what you're doing by creating these little micro channels, they're almost like tiny irrigation channels, but within these, on either side of the chip, you can vary the amount of oxygen. And so that's the thing that simulates the thing that goes on in a heart attack where you have an oxygen imbalance, is it?
That's right. And surprisingly, it's very powerful in terms of modeling heart attack injury. And really, that's the whole takeaway of the work that we have done, is just how powerful this imbalance of oxygen is to just the injury itself.
Because above all these little kind of micro chambers, you have the actual heart cells. So you harvest heart cells from animals. So there is some heart, as it were, actually on there, albeit at this very small scale. But then you can manipulate it. You can do things with it by depriving it of oxygen in different regions of the cells.
Right. What was unique here is we were able to layer all of our existing heart-on-a-chip technologies on top of this kind of gradient of oxygen, which is a hallmark of a heart attack and has not been able to be directly exposed to cardiac tissue in the past.
Sure. And so when you say an oxygen gradient, it's like an oxygen imbalance across different regions of the heart.
Exactly. So in a heart attack, there's a clogging of an artery, and part of the heart is then deprived of blood flow and therefore deprived of oxygen. But it's only in a small local area of the heart. So the rest of the heart still has normal blood and normal oxygen. And so then you have cells in between. So that's where you're getting the imbalance of oxygen, where some have normal oxygen and some have very low oxygen.
And the key thing here is that you can look at these heart cells and how they respond in real time, isn't it? And I gather that's something that you can't do as easily, or if at all, in, say, an animal experiment in a laboratory.
Right. So when you work with animal models, and that's been done for decades, is to give a heart attack to a small animal and then see what happens. You're kind of limited to taking snapshots in time of what's happening, but it's very difficult to make measurements on the living cells in response to these types of perturbations. So we have really nice control over the tissue and then also really nice access to be able to monitor what's happening in these cells.
Does it mean then you could almost dial in different kinds of heart attack and then see how the heart cells respond?
Yes, exactly. So so another big part of heart attack injury is the kind of, it's called reperfusion. So when new blood is added back to the heart. So that's something that we can also look at in our model, is we can really finely tune the amount of oxygen, the timing of oxygen, and model, or you know, model different degrees of injury.
All right. And so what's the wider significance of this research?
If we can have a model of a heart attack that's very easy to use and that really captures key features of what happens in a heart attack, so it's a more predictive model, then we can, you could imagine scaling this up and being able to identify different molecules that the heart cells are producing that are either helping or hurting the response to injury. And from there, we could develop drugs that can also act along those same pathways and hopefully help patients recover better after a heart attack.
That's Megan McCain and Megan Rexius-Hall, both at the University of Southern California. And I'm very struck by that, just what they're able to do with this chip fabrication technology and to get such resolution, such detail.
And it's a beautiful and elegant design, because what you're managing to do is to take the tissue that you want and put it into an environment which is completely under your control. In this case, it's about the oxygen gradient, and then also do it in a way where you can see very clearly what's happening, because you're looking at, through a microscope, at the cells. Although what they're doing is also experiments, things like conductivity and stuff like that. So they're doing a whole range of experiments on these cells. They're not just looking for damage, they're also looking for like non-visible damage. And it's a beautiful designed experiment. Every now and then on this show, you point out that analog and digital are basically the same thing. It's just a matter of degree. So this is a very analog experiment. You're working with living cells and fluids and oxygen levels, but it's relying on a whole load of technologies that come from our, if like, our digital lives, about the microfabrication, about being able to work at that very small detail, making the nanotubes that will move the liquid around in just the right way. And so for me, it's a beautiful example of how you can take, if like, a creative approach to what is possible through the highest technology, the highest digital technology, and use it to build an experimental rig, a setup that solves some fundamental medical problems. And obviously, this is about heart tissue and oxygen levels, really important. There'll be lots of other stuff. I mean, think about, say, kidney nephrosis. You know, imagine doing this with kidney cells and looking about how they're damaged depending on the concentration of different chemicals that might be there when a kidney is damaged. There's a whole load of possibilities for how you take this forward.
Yeah, and I was struck by the analog versus digital thing. And one of the things I was going to put to you, actually, is that here we have an experiment. There is something in a Petri dish. They talked about the size of the Petri dish and the thickness of the cells in their paper. I was just looking at it there. And yet, this isn't something they've been able to do on a computer model. There still is a place beyond coding for a computer model and doing it that way. They're building a physical experiment.
Well, your reality is not a simulation, Gareth. Reality
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. The reality is this whole rich complexity, and all of our models fall over at some point. And if we're being able to work in the physical medium and do that so effectively, and again, have that control. You know, we're all taught at school about experiments and managing the controlled variables, that you set up an environment where you can have control over only one variable, and then you can have some confidence that the thing that changes, changes as a result of the changes to that variable. Not some confidence, this is science, but, you know, you can work on that, and that's what they're doing here. So it's a beautiful little experiment, and it's a really good example of how we can do this sort of thing in future. So I look forward to seeing the other papers that are produced using these same techniques.
All right, Bill, thank you.